If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and we'll focus in on verse 42 and look at several other verses. But I want to talk to you about givers and takers. Givers and takers. As you're turning to Matthew 5, we find the Apostle Paul referencing a statement by Jesus. Paul in the book of Acts says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we want to talk about givers and takers and ask the question, are you willing to ask the question, am I a giver or am I a taker? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or anything like that because I don't want to embarrass anyone. But I want you to think about that. As we look at these scripture, would I fall under the category of a giver or a taker? Because I tell you, the kingdom of God has moved forward all of these many years on givers, not on takers. Okay? So ask that question of yourself as we consider this. And we begin reading in verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You'll find throughout the New Testament, throughout the whole Word of God, the Lord is consistently telling his people to give. Now, if you're in the modern denominational type thinking, you may have already thought, oh my goodness, the preacher's fixing to tell us to give more money. That's not even the subject matter that's before us. We're not talking about giving money. We're talking about giving something much more important than money, which is your time and your effort and your energy expended in the kingdom of God. Because we all grow weary from doing that. And maybe you may be sitting here today and determined within your mind, oh my goodness, I'm a taker, but I want to be a giver. And it requires time and energy. There is an aspect of giving in which the child of God, burdened of the Spirit of God, blessed with increase, does give from a substance standpoint, a monetary standpoint, but that's not what's before us. That doesn't matter. If somebody is giving in the wrong spirit in any area of their life, they need to learn what it means to be a giver as the Word of God teaches. Jesus, out of his own blessed mouth, said it is more blessed to give than to receive, and to give of them that ask of you. The definition of the word give, it's very present in the New Testament over and over and over. And it means to bestow a gift or to supply or to furnish. That's the basic definition of give. It occurs a lot in the New Testament. And if you turn over the page to Matthew 7, just turn over a page or so and begin reading in verse 9, the Lord Jesus continues this theme, this teaching about giving. Now listen to what he says. He gets very specific. Matthew 7 and verse 9. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if a son, if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask of him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, notice the context is giving, right? This is the golden rule that supposedly everybody knows the golden rule. This is where it is covered in the Word of God. This is that verse. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That is a profound statement. It's simply profound and profoundly simple. It's talking about giving. And notice the context that he puts it in. As parents, when your child comes to you, no child of mine has ever come to me and said, you know, Daddy, I need a snack. Now, it might be, you know, too late at night. You know, we might say, okay, let's just wait for breakfast. But 9 times out of 10, you know, Daddy, I'm hungry. You know, normally, unless it's bad for them for some reason, you know, normally you would give them something that they are requesting. If the son asks bread, would you give him a stone? Can you imagine how cruel that would be? You know, my son comes to me when he's a little fella and he says, Daddy, I'm hungry. Give me bread. And maybe he's so young and infantile that he doesn't even know what bread is fully. And so I hand him a stone and he goes, breaks a tooth on a stone. How cruel is that? And I go, ah, that's cruel. Or even worse, Brother Craig, you know, what if he comes and asks for a fish that you've caught, or one of you other fishermen, like Brother Philip, and you say, ha, 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 and you reach into your container and you pull out a snake. That's cruel, right? Nobody would give a snake to a child who is asking for a fish to eat. Nobody would give a stone to a child who is asking for bread. And he says, Jesus makes the point, and don't you know this stung a little bit to those real self-righteous and legalistic people? If ye then being evil, if you in your nature, if a parent, a natural parent, even without the Spirit of God's influence, knows to give bread to a child who asks for bread, right? And a natural parent, even without the influence of the Holy Spirit, would not give their child a serpent, a snake, if they ask for a fish. He says, if you then being evil, if you know in your nature, without the influence of God, how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? By the way, previously one of those verses says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. He's making the point about how good of a giver your heavenly Father is. So let's talk about that. The Lord, our giver. You can begin to read about the Lord, our giver, in Genesis, the first chapter. You know, it says that he gave, he created. In the creation, he was giving. Think about this one obvious aspect of the creation that is affecting you right now, especially those of you that are sitting on this side and being warmed by that light that's coming in the window. And those of you over here will wish you were sitting on this side because it's so cold in here, right? Yeah, the older I get, the colder I get. So I'm with you. I may preach in a blanket here one of these days. So what is that that's coming in through the window? It's light. And it's from something that is giving light. Are you with me? And it's called the sun. The sun is a giver. You understand that? It gives you light every day so you can see. It gives you warmth, especially in the summer months in Alabama. It causes a lot of humidity too. But you understand, God created the sun as a giver. Now this is interesting, and I don't want to get sidetracked. But even the way that the sun functions, that we understand the sun functions, is designed to be a giver. Now, I'm not a nuclear physicist. We got somebody here that was into the nuclear stuff years ago, and I know he knows a lot more than I do about it, but I did a little reading, and I know I'm dangerous when I read. But the best I can tell from what scientists think, and you say, well, this is just, you know, the sun's just a scientific thing. The sun is a gift from the giver, okay? And the way that they think the sun works, it's a ball of gas that generates energy through nuclear fusion in its core. Not fission, and it radiates energy out into space. And the difference between nuclear fission and nuclear fusion is that God created fusion to make the sun work. Now, that's the best that the scientists think. Nobody's obviously ever been there and tested the sun, right? But the difference between those two, if you think about the word fusion, it brings things together. Fusion, to fuse something together. And the way the nuclear reaction allegedly occurs in the sun is God causes fusion, which uses lighter elements than what we understand as nuclear energy, which comes from fission. You know, the word fissure, it means to, you know, a fissure is a crack. Okay, that's the way that men approach nuclear energy, is to divide things, to crack up things. That's how the first nuclear bombs were made, is it was by splitting the atom. God's way of bringing you and giving you light is through bringing things together. And it's a much safer way, by the way. Have you ever heard of Chernobyl? The disaster that occurred at Chernobyl, which led to, one of the reasons that led to the fall of the Soviet Union was what happened at Chernobyl. That was one of the failures of leadership that led to the fall of the Soviet Union. I think when I was a senior in high school or somewhere around that time, so I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it then, but I've gone back and read and seen how it was so dangerous. It could have poisoned Europe with what they did there. And it was all because of men splitting things. You see, that's what taking does. It splits. Even the way that God designed his son to operate brings things together. He gives you something that brings something together, and you have the light that gives you the ability to see and warm you from a natural standpoint. Fusion, it is believed, is how the Lord continues to operate His Son. So the Lord's a giver. He's given you the Son. And from the standpoint of the difference between those two types of nuclear energy, it's the safer kind. It's the safer way. God is a giver. John 3:16, the most popular verse in the world. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. He gave. See, the Lord is a giver. He is bringing things together while the world and men are causing things to fall apart. Whose side do you want to be on? I want to be on the giver's side, right? John 10:27, He says this, My sheep know Me, they hear My voice, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life. Are y'all with me? He's the giver. He's not the offer of eternal life. The Lord said, I give eternal life. Don't buy into what the religious world says of He's offering you something. The Lord is the giver. He is giving eternal life. He is the giver of life. Romans 8:28, which is one of our favorite places to go, our little honey holes when it comes to old Baptist doctrine. He says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What are the things that God, the giver, is working together for us? The world's falling apart. The world's like, we're all like a bunch of little nuclear fissions walking around, just breaking apart. But God is bringing things together. And the things that He is doing to bring it together are listed right here. Don't get confused and think, well, all this stuff that's happening out here in the world, it's got some way that it's working together for my good. No, the world and the devil and temptation is working against you. But God is working for you. See? What's He doing? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. He has given you predestination. He has set your destination. He has foreknown you. That was the giver before the world was formed. Foreknew you, predestinated you. For what? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. That's the new birth. He has given you the new birth. He's the giver. Whom He called, them He also justified. He has given you justification, just as if I never sinned, by the work of Jesus on the cross. That is an incredible gift. It's an understatement, isn't it? God has foreknown me before the world was even formed. Understatement of a gift. The Lord has set my destination and said that I will be conformed to look like His Son in perfection. Understatement of a gift, that He's called me, that He born me again at some point in my life. What a gift, when I was dead in sins. You know, I've told you before, I don't know when I was born again. I've always felt convicted when I'd stick my hand in the cookie jar as a little bitty fella. I knew I wasn't supposed to do it. I've always felt like the Lord loved me. You know, maybe you've had a different experience. I know there are those like the Apostle Paul who have been born again, you know, later in life, and they can tell you to a moment whenever it changed. Thief on the cross is an example of that, right? Cursing Jesus one moment, the next moment he's praising Jesus. I don't remember when I was born again, but I thank God for that gift. What an amazing gift that I didn't deserve. And then he says, whom he justified, them he also glorified. I thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ on the cross, where he declared me innocent. He declared me just, even though I had all of this sin in me and on me. Christ took that upon himself and declared me just. What a gift. And it says, them he also glorified. It's an understatement that these gifts are invaluable. They're eternal. And God, the great giver, not only has given us these things to know through the gospel, which is so important, it's the light that tells us what God has done for us. It's not the life that God gives to us, it is the light that illuminates what he has already done for us. And one day he's coming back. If you think all those others are great, they are, they're amazing, but one day you're going to see it fulfilled in real time. What a gift. Watch this. What shall we then say to these things? The Apostle Paul is waxing eloquent here. He's like, just like what I told you, how can we comprehend the immensity of the God, the giver, giving us these things? Paul says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now watch this. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What things do you think he's talking about there? He's talking about you being foreknown and predestinated and being called and being justified and being glorified one day when he returns and the resurrection occurs. And then some folks look at that and they say, I just don't believe that. It's hard not to believe it because it's in the Word of God. What it is, it's hard to understand it, especially if you've been taught something totally different your whole life. You mean salvation is by grace alone? You mean I don't do anything to opt in or bring it? That's the free gift of God. The Lord's the giver. The Lord's going to give all the way right up until the end. Did you know that? And he's just going to keep on giving for eternity. Revelation 21 and 6, he says, some of the last words of Jesus recorded in the New Testament. In the book of Revelation, it says, I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the beginning, I'm the ending, and I give unto him that is a thirst. See, the Lord's just giving. He's just a giver. Don't we want to model ourselves after the giver rather than after the world, which is the taker? You know, men are trying to, you know, the best thing men can come up with is the opposite of what the Lord does. The Lord fuses things together. You know, the Lord created nuclear fusion, and men are just dividing atoms, dividing people, dividing countries. They're just dividers. I want to model myself after the giver because the Lord was giving before the foundation of the world. The Lord gave all throughout time and history. The Lord gave by sending his son. The Lord gave his son on the cross to die for your sins and my sins, and he's going to keep on giving through the rest of eternity. Oh, we want to model ourselves after the giver? By the way, you can never outgive the Lord. You can never outgive him. He is the ultimate example of giving. Now, so let's look at Matthew 13. This is a parable of the sower I want to look at. And I want you to think about, what category do I fall under when it comes to giving? Matthew, the 13th chapter. I've taken this little test many times and asked the Lord, Lord, where am I? That's a very humbling question to ask yourself. Where am I, Lord? I know what my mom and my dad say about where they think I am, and I know maybe what my coworkers say about where it looks like I am, and oh, it looks like, you know, they said the same thing about the rich young ruler, right? That guy's got it made. You know, he's in the right place. But the question is not what other people say about where you are. The question is what you say before the Lord and in your heart of hearts, Lord, where am I? Jesus explains to them the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, let's begin looking when he does the explanation of the parable of the sower. Verse 18, hear ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, that's the gospel, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, that's Satan, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So ask yourself the question, am I in the wayside? Do I hear the word of God and not really understand what the preacher's saying? Did I just go through Romans 8, 29, 30, and 31, and you're sitting there, and you say, I don't really know what that means, because that is the milk of your salvation. So I've never been taught predestination or foreknowledge or those things that are listed. I just don't know. That may mean you might be in category one of the wayside, because those are the fundamentals. Those are the basics that all Baptists used to believe and could converse about very easily. Sadly, nowadays, there's a lot of waysiders who don't really understand the basic doctrine. But guess what? It's so simple, you can. If you don't, you can. Or maybe you've learned it and you forgot. You've been so consumed by the world, that can happen. You know, you understand, I want this to be very clear. These are not isolated categories. As a matter of fact, I think a few times in my life on some really bad days, Brother Luke, I think I have gone through all four categories, but probably stayed in the first three the most. You can move in and out of these categories. These are not, well, this person's not a child of God and this person is. That's not what he's teaching here. He's teaching his apostles that when you go out and you start preaching, you're going to have different reactions to the gospel. There's going to be people that are in the wayside. There's going to be people that are in the thorny ground. There's going to be people that are in the path. There's going to be people in the good ground. It's not categories of who is a child of God and who's not. They're all categories of children of God. I've been in every category. Well, are you willing to admit that? I've been in the category of where I was a wayside Christian. I had heard the truth all of my life, but it didn't carry a practical effect to me, so I wasn't giving. I wasn't producing fruit. See, giving is equated with producing fruit. The next category, he says, receive the seed into stony places. The same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended, or he stumbles, or he trips. If you want to get a real good test about what that means, just become a Primitive Baptist. Because you will receive friction for that. Some people say, well, that's a cult. The people that say that have never even been to a church that where the truth is taught. You say, well, that doesn't sound like a very good invitation to join the church, Brother Tim. Oh, but if you want to grow closer to the Lord and you want to produce fruit and you want to be a giver, have you looked at the example of Jesus, who had no place to lay his head? Who had no bank account to withdraw money from? He owned the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he owed all the gold in the world. But when he was here walking around in his humility and his giving state there, his visible giving state, he was persecuted. If you want to understand what it means to grow closer to the Lord through persecution, start believing the truth today. Start believing it today. And you'll see that. What an invitation. Join the Lord, follow him, and suffer. That's been the way that the church has been for 2,000 years. Here are those that are in the stony ground who hear the word of God, but they cave in under pressure. You did what? You believe in what? You see, they cave in under pressure. Don't cave in under pressure, child of God. This could also be not just in the context of believing the truth, but it could be in the context of somebody asking you to lie, peer pressure, lie, drink, steal, you know, use this drug, you know, engage in this activity, go to this place. You cave under pressure. Have you ever caved under pressure? If you haven't, you just haven't lived long enough. So you see, are we in the stony ground? And then he says the thorny ground. Now, I think this is where most of us in modern America live. The third category is the thorny ground. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. That's the thorny ground. You hear the word of God, you believe the word of God, you rejoice in the word of God, but you just don't have time to give. You know, prosperity is the greatest persecutor that you could have. There's 1,000 different things that you could do today. But the most important thing that you can do is worship and honor your Savior. Because he's given you all of this. You see this? Now, but he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, produces fruit, is fertile when it comes to fruit producing, is giving. What does fruit do? It feeds others. And he bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That's all about giving. See, that's the category that we want to be in, right? We want to be in the giving category. Did you notice it's only one out of those four categories? It's the smallest category there, a fourth. The other three-fourths are the wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground. Praise God we can move in and out of those. Praise God those are not categories of who is a child of God and who is not. Those are categories of children of God who go in and out of those categories because we're sinners. But let's hope and pray that we fall in the giving category. Luke, the 6th chapter, the 38th verse, we close with this. Luke 6 and 38. Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Notice what he said. If you give, you'll be given something back. That's the strange and mysterious thing about the kingdom of God. The more you give, from a natural standpoint, it may look like the more you're losing, but the more you give, the more you're getting back. When you engage the people of God, the children of God, and you give. Now, when I think about this verse, you know, what does it mean? Well, it makes me think about those salad hogs at Jason's Deli. Y'all ever been to Jason's Deli and seen the salad hogs that come in with their little carry out? I hope to pray that you're not a salad hog. I've waited in line. I love Jason's Deli. I love the salad. It's the best salad around. I'm not being paid anything to say that, I promise you, okay? It's the best salad around. I love it. But if I go in there at the wrong time and there's one of those salad hogs in front of me, I'm going to have to wait about 15 minutes because they will pile up that thing. And then I've seen them. I've watched them. They'll mash it down, you know, until you can't even tell it's a salad anymore. It's so mashed down. But they'll just keep piling and piling. And then they'll shake it down a little bit, you know? Because, you know, thank God, one of these days Jason's Deli is going to figure that out and start charging people by the weight of the salad, like they do at the yogurt place. Your grandparents and parents better be careful about that yogurt place. They pile it up and it's $25, you know. But at Jason's Deli, you can still pile and shake it down. Make more room and shake it down. That's what the Lord is saying here. In a good way, you know, when you put something in a container like seed or something, and if you'll shake it down, it will give you more room. It made me think of the Lego store. You know, you can buy a container and you can fill that thing up and it only costs a certain amount. And I've done that with my kids when they were smaller. I even went there and got Brother Ben one when he was much younger, of course. I was requested to get one of those containers from Brother Ben. And man, I shook and I shook and I shook and pressed until that lid was barely sitting on there. I didn't know if the lady was going to let me buy. That was for Brother Ben. I was doing the same thing with my kids. You know, you shake it down and you can get more in there. That's the way it is when you give. You just keep shaking it down. You keep giving and you get more in there. And then you can pile it up. You can be a give hog. You can keep piling it up and it's just going to flow over. And your container is going to be full because you're giving. That's what he's teaching there. Take the giver-taker test. Listen, I'm going to throw a little psychology on you. I'm not a psychologist. But if you sit here today, after hearing this, and you're going, whew, man, I'm so glad I'm a giver. I hate to tell you, but you're not. If you think you're a giver, you're probably not a giver. Matter of fact, you aren't a giver. Man, I'm a giver. Ooh, look at me. Thumb the lapels. But if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, man, after hearing this, I feel more like a taker, then you're probably a giver. You get the difference? And if you're sitting there today and you're saying, I'm a pitiful wretch, I've never given a day in my life, God help me, then you're about to become a giver if you're that convicted. You don't want to be going around saying, look at me, I'm a giver. Wow, I'm so glad. I feel relieved after hearing Brother Tim preach about givers and takers. I am such a good giver. That person's not a giver. I look at this giver-taker question almost every day, and I think, Lord, I'm pitiful. Lord, I want to give more. I don't want to pull back. I want to give more. I'm not getting out of my experience in life as a child of God what I should. And it's not, you know, the other person's fault. It's not my wife's fault. It's not my children's fault. It's my fault because I'm not discipling myself as a giver. It takes investment to give. It takes focus to give. What category do we fall under? The most important people that you will ever render service to on this planet are the people of God. And unlike the person who goes out to preach to places where the Lord sends them, like Brother Luke said, the Lord knows who they are. I know you. I see you. I don't have to wonder, is there a group of people that I can give to? You're sitting right in front of me. I don't have to wonder where you are. And the most important time that a child of God will ever spend, as we have opportunity to spend, as we take opportunity to spend, is with the people of God, in the church of God, in the household of faith. Galatians 6 and 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The closer you will ever be to your Savior, the closest you can ever come to experiencing your Savior in this life, is modeling yourself as a giver. It already comes naturally for a parent, or it's supposed to, but for the child of God, when you start giving and you get up close to people and you see, oh my goodness, these people, you know, I thought they were holy angels when I first met them, but they seem to be holy terrors now. When you get up close and you start experiencing disappointment and seeing the warts and the pimples, your natural tendency is going to be to pull back, to pull away, to stop giving. Aren't you glad that your Savior was not that way? He saw a lot of warts and pimples. And you know what he did? He continued to shake it down. He continued to have good measure, shaken down, pressed together, overflowing. And it was given back into his bosom. See? Child of God, give. Give. Closest you will ever be to your Savior is through giving, being a giver, not a taker.